This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. Our guests this morning are Jenny Hines, President, and Vic Opperman, Founding President of Sustainable Ballard, a nonprofit organization developing a grassroots vision of sustainability for the Ballard neighborhood. Jenny and Vic are here today to tell us about the accomplishments of Sustainable Ballard during the past year and to announce the upcoming 5th Annual Sustainable Ballard Festival to be held September 27th through 28th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Ballard Commons Park. Welcome.
Hi.
Would you remind us of the history of Sustainable Ballard and your goals?
Well, Sustainable Ballard is about 5 years old now and started as a response to the war, I guess. But what we're up to now is that we put on workshops, events, and other gatherings in which we're sort of modeling playful ways to educate and engage and inspire neighbors to take steps towards living more sustainably.
And we're trying to spread it throughout Puget Sound.
That's right.
And really asking each of these different towns, there's up to 60 of these towns, sustainable communities all over Puget Sound, scallops, in which we are engaging local neighbors to work within the demographics of their township to bring these issues forth.
And focusing specifically on Sustainable Ballard, who belongs?
Everyone belongs. It's a community organization. In fact, the vision eventually, I think, is that it not be called Sustainable Ballard anymore, but just be a Ballard community organization where people come together and celebrate their accomplishments in keeping the community healthy.
Would you give an overview of the Sustainable Ballard Guilds?
Well, we have five guilds. The Transportation Guild, which has some programs like our Undriving program, which we'll talk about, and Birdie, which is the Bike Rack Design Contest, a couple of things they've done this year. And we have a Food and Health Guild, which has been working with the Eat Local Now program and local chefs and farmers. We have a Community Guild, which has started a new program called Ballard Homes for All Coalition, and we also do some other building community projects within that guild. We have the Home Energy and Built Environment Guild, which is working with home energy audits and doing climate dialogues. And then our newest guild is the Garden and Natural Environment Guild, which has started a new program this year called Urban Crop Circles, which is a group of people getting together to actually learn how to garden in their own yards to be eating as locally as possible out of your own backyard.
Let's focus in now on your Undriving campaign. First, why was it started?
How did it all start? There were a bunch of different things. It's interesting, all the time we listen to whoever shows up at our meetings and what their interests are. And early on, Duff Begley really wanted to do a car-free campaign and bring that into the guild. So we discussed that quite a bit. And out of that actually came not so much car-free from the franchise itself, but like what Sustainable Ballard does a lot, what we call the Tumblr, it became Undriving Ballard. So I don't know if you remember those old, what was it, Almost Live, and they make the jokes about Ballard and the seatbelts hanging out, and that's a little bit of a character of Ballard. Anyways, we pulled that into this campaign. So Undriving Ballard really became a project of Julia Field and that guild, and we designed and built a shuffle bus. It's a human-powered bus that we take around the festival. People ride it. They put money in the slot, some of them do, and end up at different parts of the festival.
Yeah, but Julia really created a lot of playful ways for people to think about alternatives to car use through the Undriving program, and now we're issuing Undriver licenses.
What are the requirements to receive an Undriver's license?
You just make a pledge to reduce your car use in one way or another. So you might say, you know, I'm going to drive one less day per week, or I'm going to ride the bus to work for 3 days during the week, or I'm going to bike to the store rather than drive as often as I can. So any kind of pledge to reduce your car use, you can earn an Undriver's license and get free Metro tickets courtesy of King County Metro.
How have you gone about recruiting Undriver's license holders?
Well, the Undriver's license station has shown up at many events around the area. We've been at the Seattle Tilt. Actually, we weren't
Seafood
at Seattle
Fest.
Seafood Festival.
All the Sustainable Ballard Fest.
UW's Focus the Nation event. And actually, this coming Monday, we'll be out in front of the Ballard Neighborhood Center with the Undriver License Station for Car Free Day, World Car Free Day.
Part of it, too, recruiting, but also a lot of what Sustainable Ballard does within all of these different guilds is those folks that are taking on these different interests, they're already doing this in their lives, so they already are kind of modeling. It's not really like active recruiting. It's more about education. And people join us because there's a lot of need out there, I think. A lot of people want to express their concern about what's going on in the world, and they want to be a part of this change.
How many Undrivers have signed up so far for the Undrivers licenses?
It's over 1,000.
Yeah, it's over 1,200.
You alluded to this earlier, but what kind of pledges are the most common that people make?
I mean, I think the goal isn't so much that you have to give up your car, but to drive less. It's to think about, you know, every morning, how am I going to get to work or to my daily errands, and finding maybe a new way to do this or a new way to join someone else so that you're reducing your transportation. So a lot of us are, a bunch of us in Sustainable Ballard have given up our cars. We've sold our cars. We're now on foot and bike and bus, and our lives have changed.
Yeah, actually, the Undriver program has a follow-up survey asking people, did this actually create a change in your life? And I think they're finding that 70% of the people are saying, you know, it did change their awareness and change their habits. So it's very successful in that way.
Could you say more about the benefits that people have reported from having taken these steps?
More exercise, certainly anything that helps the wallet, and just less worry about, you know, I don't know how many bills you get in the mail, but there's less of everything. You know, less of the credit card bill and less of the insurance, et cetera.
A lot of families are riding together more, carpooling or riding bikes together more, so spending more time with each other, as well as friends doing it together. So that community building is happening as well.
And leading to a lot of creative kinds of situations, like you're saying, Jenny, you know, of a family getting together, realizing the whole family can bike to the store together. It actually becomes a family event of sorts, in that everybody's got a little backpack or a little basket on their bike.
And there are some families forming bike pools to school so that each of the kids will come out with their bikes and they'll all bike together to school.
And it's neat to see where a bunch of these ideas go. Like right now in Sustainable Wallingford, they have spokespeople. And so not only are they doing bicycle education, they have rides between the different scallops towns, and people learn how to, I'm not even sure what the term is. There's an outside person, two outside people on their bikes, making sure the others are safe between them. Kathy Tuttle's doing that.
Sustainable Ballard's Undriving program was represented at the Car Free Cities Conference in Portland last summer. How was the Undriving program received there?
I was there with Julia, and people loved it. Julia did a great presentation, and it was so neat to offer what Sustainable Ballard's been working on to this international community. And so there are now people all over the world, I would have to say, that have a Ballard Undriver's license.
What do you plan for your Undriving campaign for the future?
Well, I think we're going to start doing Undriver's education. We may even have our own Undriver's registry in Ballard someday. Right now we're working on the Ballard Neighborhood Service Center for Sustainable Ballard to have a desk there. So there may be some opportunity to do some outreach through there.
I'm Diane Horn, and we were speaking with Jenny Hines and Vic Opperman of Sustainable Ballard. Our topic is the accomplishments of Sustainable Ballard and the 5th Annual Festival to be held September 27th and 28th in the Ballard Commons Park. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. What other efforts in the area of transportation have been made by Sustainable Ballard during the past year?
Well, the other big project that we've taken on, the acronym is BRDI, but it stands for Bicycle Rack Design Contest. And that was a program that we actually got a grant from the city through the Small and Simple program and put in lots of volunteer hours, but to offer neighbors a way to get more bike racks into our neighborhood. And we had over 100 entries, including designs by high school and middle school kids, that were all entered in the contest, and five designs were chosen, and now they're being designed and built by artists and engineers, and we're hopefully going to have one of those at the festival to display to show people one of the bike rack designs. But if it's successful, which it seems to be so far, this can be a model for other neighborhoods. The city will actually use it as a model for other neighborhoods and how to get bike racks into their neighborhoods as well.
What I love about Sustainable Ballard are these types of ideas and how they take off and how they involve so many different kinds of people. This bike rack design contest. So, like Jenny said, involved middle school, high school students, involved architects, all kinds of people. I mean, 101 entries.
Engineers, is
amazing. And we showed all of the entries at the Ballard Seafood Fest. But again, Department of Transportation, they saw these designs and they're like, you know what? We want to put these all over the city. These are so great. And we said, well, thank you. And but what we'd really like to do is have some of these other towns also do this contest so that their neighbors can join up and design these and their metal shops can work on these, that type
right.
of thing.
And then they have the pride of ownership of their neighborhood came up with these ideas. And
so it's kind of the scallops thing. It's these best practices. It's not necessarily to completely iron and make this a blueprint, but something that each town can figure out what ideas they'd like to work on.
Would you now update us also on the 100-mile diet, the challenge to eat local food within a 100-mile range, which you began last year?
We've actually changed it to 150 miles this year.
Oh, all right.
Yep, always changing things here.
And kind of calling it the Eat Local Challenge because the 100-mile diet, the inspiration was from a Vancouver couple who found that the geography of Vancouver, it made sense to eat food within 100 miles because that's where the mountain ranges were and that kind of thing. But doing like with scallops, adapting to our own community, we're seeing that 150 miles is more reasonable and appropriate for this region. So this year again, we chose the month of September for the Eat Local Challenge, and we've signed people up to eat within that radius. And we have a beautiful map that shows where all the farms within 150 miles of Seattle are located and what they sell, and encouraging people to go to farmers markets. And we have a second map this year, which actually is a little more complicated. It actually shows all the land within 150 miles that's in food production right now. And if we were all to take this challenge and try to eat within 150 miles, how many people would each acre of land have to feed? So
that's excellent. I
didn't
know that.
Really,
wow.
It's a really interesting question. And the next step of that then is because what we're finding by looking at that map is that there's not enough land in production right now to feed all the people in Seattle from within 150 miles. The next step then is to look at what is all the possible arable land and to add backyard gardens and see how we can reduce the number of people needed to be fed per acre.
See, isn't this amazing? We're not even experts. And these are neighbors coming up with these projects. These are neighbors concerned with these types of issues and taking a step forward. And we're not waiting for anybody. We're just respectfully exploring this.
What kind of feedback are you getting from the people who signed up for the 150-mile diet?
Well, people are finding that the diet is challenging, but it increases their awareness of what's available locally and increases the range of things they're trying, you know, trying new foods and discovering all kinds of new foods and new recipes and becoming creative, but learning really about what kind of really quality produce we have around this region.
If it's all right, this might be a great little segue for a little piece regarding scallops because it's connected to this. So just quickly, scallops began 2 years ago and started as a group of three, and it was Ballard, Bainbridge, and Port Townsend, and now within 2 years, there's now 60 towns. At Greenfest alone, 15 towns signed up to start a group. And so connected to the 150-mile diet, one of the projects that we've been talking about for a couple of years is some sort of sail transport network. Right now, we're calling it Watertown Transit and Trade. But it's the idea of locally grown, locally produced, locally made products and produce trading between the scallops groups. And again, we're not necessarily trying to save the world or be the end-all program, but we are an instigator of ideas and modeling different prototypes. We're glad for anyone that joins us and has a better idea. And we're trying to grow these types of initiatives.
You've alluded to this earlier, but say again the various locations of the different Scallop groups that are now members.
60 or 65.
Yes, it's a list of 60, and, you know, lots of programs within Seattle itself, but many other jurisdictions as well. I mean, as far away as Elam, Carnation, Puyallup, Port Townsend, Orcas Island.
Bremerton.
I mean, just the other evening I was down in Belltown, and I mean, this is what's so intriguing. I mean, every town has certainly different demographics, but it's also the people that show up to these meetings have different ideas of what they want to work on. And every Scallops member, every Scallops town is self-defining. I go around a lot, as well as Neva Welton. She's one of the other founders, and Frank Hoffman of Port Townsend. But I go around a lot to these new startup groups and basically listen, offering how Sustainable Ballard started, but just really listening to what people want to work on. And for Belltown in particular, here are a group of people and they're living in condos. And so their ideas are, how can we green up the condo? Because that's a great way of figuring out maybe what other neighbors might be interested in. And so, you know, this one young woman, I mean, she's got compost growing in her closet. And they're working on container gardens, and they're working on how to do education and brochures and placing it in the elevators and how to engage their local businesses and in the area, as well as pulling in the folks that are already doing green things around there, whether they're architects or various nonprofits and programs.
You are listening to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Jenny Hines and Vic Opperman of Sustainable Ballard. Our topic is the accomplishments of Sustainable Ballard and the 5th Annual Festival to be held September 27th and 28th in the Ballard Commons Park. When you look at the different groups and the people that form them, what seems to be the motivating force? What draws people in?
People are really concerned about the economy. They're really concerned about the war in Iraq. And understanding more about energy scarcity, wondering how they can find other neighbors that are equally interested and concerned, and start somewhere, you know, start working on something. And really, it's certainly the various projects they come up with, but throughout all these communities, they are all very interested in the number one thing, which is building community.
Would you report on the most recent sustainable communities all around Puget Sound or Scallops Summit, which took place in August?
Love to. It's in Port Gamble, and it was titled Futures Fest. Often what Sustainable Ballard and a lot of these groups do, and now Scallops does it, is we siphon off energy from events that are already going on so that we can find others at like-minded events. At this event, I think we've had 6 events now that we've been a part of, and we always do something called a Commons Cafe, which brings in others that are talking about various issues, and it's usually a 2-day event, and hourly there's some new issue that's being talked about, people can be a part of it. But at the end of the program, we have what we call the Scallop Summit, and that's where leaders from the various towns come together and talk about what they're working on, the various issues they're working on. And out of this last one, I'm so pleased. We have a list of what the different towns are working on. I can read it just really quickly. Some of the accomplishments and some of the projects that are in action right now. There was the West Seattle Sustainability Festival. People are working on monthly education programs, home solar energy, community gardens. So again, this is just a list of kind of generic things that, you know, everyone from Ballard to Vashon to Clea Elam are working on. Local Economy Action Group, Potlucks with a Purpose, 5th Annual Sustainability Festival in Ballard, Undriver's License, Green October, Citizens Climate Lobby, Rain Gardens, Movies on the Roof, Planting Parking Strips, Car-Free Sunday, Climate Lab. You'll see Climate Lab a lot here. There's Phil Mitchell. We often, people jump from one group to the other. There's a lot of similar things. Strawberry Festival, Electric Car Advocacy, Urban Farmers Group, Wallingford Community Council, Wallingford Wheelbarrow Drill Team, What If Community Envisioning at Queen Anne Farmers Market, Sound Food Interactive Map and Website, and Asset Mapping. And if I could just say a little bit about Queen Anne, too. I was just recently at a meeting there, and I never know who I'm going to meet and what kind of projects I'm going to find people working on. And I was so surprised to find that on Queen Anne, there's actually two Queen Anne groups. Queen Anne Neighbors for Responsible Growth, and I think now they're called Queen Anne Neighbors, and then there's Sustainable Queen Anne. I was at the Sustainable Queen Anne meeting, and they have found that there's a group that has now either inherited or purchased, I'm not sure, but there's a farm. There's a piece of land on Queen Anne that they're going to turn into a farm. The land is paid for, and now they're going after funding to develop the land and also to have a building on it. So this is how a meeting like this goes. Someone brings up an issue like this, and then someone there said, well, there's going to be a challenge. There's people that are homeless there. And immediately, people jump in. I mean, they're just like, you know what? This is a great opportunity. Maybe there's some type of program that we can do together and just kind of share this project with these people. And I mean, so that we're all stewards of this project.
Could you give a sense of the different types of people who are involved in the various scallops groups?
As different as the neighborhoods are, certainly business owners, I mean, just all walks of life, really. The meetings I've been in have had former mayors and city council people and families and some kids. We're hoping to have more of kids' programs throughout this. Scallops itself is now going after funding. We've received some funding so that we can make a more dynamic website, but we're really going after funding so that we can support two of us as staff with an office, and we have programs that we would really like to develop, one of which is that Watertown Transit and Trade.
What are some additional plans of Scallops for the future?
Besides taking over Puget Sound?
Yes.
Scallops is really built like Sustainable Ballard as a place to engage neighbors first. It really acts as a conduit for a lot of different people to work on issues of interest, and conduit to utilities and local government programs, Sustainable Ballard in particular. It's allowed a place to discuss these issues. I mean, I was just talking with Jenny this morning, Sustainable Ballard's maturing into more intricate projects. I mean, we're getting even more creative beyond the planting our garden and let's drive less. I mean, we're really getting into
moving more into the community.
Yeah, we're moving more into the community. And as an example is this Ballard Homes for All Coalition that started in Sustainable Ballard. Mary Lee Mahar came in. She's a good friend of ours. And she actually showed up with this cutout from a magazine, and it showed a 12-story building, which was like a resource center for people that are homeless. And she came in, she said, this is what I like to do, and I'd like to do this with Sustainable Ballard. And, of course, all of our jaws dropped. And then we're like, okay, well, we're gonna work with you on this somehow. And this project has come in and out of Sustainable Ballard, and Mary Lee has taken this on. It's had a lot of different iterations, some of which, we were at Trinity United Methodist Church with Rich Lang for a little while, and it inspired Rich Lang and Tim Harris of Real Change to get together and talk about things. Rich Lang now has a column at Real Change. Rich Lang is also, they've got a soup kitchen started. That was started before this program, but now they've got, I think, 10 people that are homeless living in their gym. They've remodeled showers. That was a year ago that they've done that, and now this Ballard Homes for All Coalition is working on, as Jenny was talking about, making safe camps for people that are homeless, car camps, as well as a mobile hygiene station, to the point that Representative Mary Lou Dickerson is involved, and she has been getting each one of the Seattle City Council people to meet with us. We've come up with a budget for the car camps. We're writing to the mayor, and we're also at the Sustainable Ballard Festival going to be featuring this prototype of a mobile hygiene station.
Well, let's talk now about the Sustainable Ballard Festival, which will be held Saturday and Sunday, September 27th and 28th, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Ballard Commons Park. What will be some of the highlights of the festival?
Oh, well, we have a whole bunch of new ideas this year. The festival has sort of a county fair flair, so we're really playfully and creatively engaging people throughout the festival. So some of the county fair type activities are we're going to have a compost beauty contest. Bring your mason jar of compost, and the Seattle Tilth Master Composters are going to judge them on stage and decide which is the most beautiful compost. There's going to be a sustainable fashion show. We're doing a lot of games, festival-type games, like the recycling toss, where you look at these different options and try to decide whether they get tossed into recycling or into yard waste or into the garbage. And there's the seasonal vegetable toss. You look at a bean bag with, like, tomatoes on it and try to figure out which season that's the easy one. So there'll be a lot of that kind of games. So another area at the festival we're going to have in our urban farm zone, another county fair thing, is we'll have chickens and pygmy goats for people to learn more about. You're allowed to have chickens and goats now in your yard in Seattle. And a really fun feature this year, too, is we're actually going to have festival bucks, which is a chance for people to actually get a sense of using an alternative currency. People are going to earn festival bucks by playing these games or by taking a pledge to be an UnDriver or take a pledge to do the Eat Local Challenge. Actually, in other areas, we're going to have, it's called So Fun Bag, so people are going to be making their own grocery bags, their own totes, and if they make an extra one to donate to the food bank, then they can earn some festival bucks. And then we have a whole bunch of local businesses who have signed up to take festival bucks after the festival for discounts at their businesses, at their stores. And so it's actually going to be a usable local currency in Ballard after the festival. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the UnDriver's License Station will be there, and the Seattle Free School is coming, and they're going to have some learning stations there where people can actually learn to make their own laundry soap or their own healthy pet food or that kind of thing. Seattle Free School is a great organization that's just started in January, and it's where anyone can sign up to be both a teacher or a student, but everything is free, and so it's another community building group that we're really happy to have come to our festival. Oh, also on Transportation Row will be the rides for this county fair, so you'll get to try out the dog scooter or the
the rides. No Ferris wheel, huh?
No, I don't have a Ferris wheel. The conference bike, it's the 5-seated bike. There's a whole group of Segway enthusiasts who are coming to demonstrate Segways, so people get to try out Segways. And the Seattle Electric Vehicle Association will be giving rides in their electric cars.
And we're going to see several of the bike racks will have been built by then.
We hope. We're crossing our fingers. One other thing is there's a local homeowner who has set up a whole rainwater collection system using both a cistern and rain barrels, and we'll have periodic tours from the festival going over to that house to see his whole system.
Well, the festival is at the Ballard Commons Park. Just remind people where that's located.
The Ballard Commons Park is at the intersection of 22nd Northwest and Northwest 57th, a kitty corner from the Ballard Library, just north of Market Street in Ballard.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Why are people working so hard in their communities to do this work? You know, I wonder about that myself, having seen hundreds of people put in many hours regarding working on these different issues. I think that this is a really great time that we need a lot of creative solutions, and people are stepping forward.
Yeah, I'd say maybe the message from me is to get to know your neighbors and find out what's going on in your own community. And come to the festival and, you know, look at some of the things we're doing and see how those might work in your own neighborhood.
And come play with us.
Come play with us.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Jenny and Vic.
Thanks, Diane.
Thanks, Diane.
We have just been speaking with Jenny Hines, President, and Vic Opperman, Founding President of Sustainable Ballard. For more information, check on the web at www.sustainableballard.org. Again, that's sustainableballard.org. And the Scallops website is scallopswa.org. Again, that's scallopswa.org. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and KEXP.org.